Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
8 days after Jesus is born, he is taken by Mary and Joseph, and in keeping with the law of Moses, he is presented at the temple. And while there, he is going to meet two people. Both of these individuals are along in their years, and both of them have been patiently waiting for the Messiah, the Lord's promised one. The first one that Jesus meets as a baby is Simeon. Simeon has been promised that before he dies, God will reveal to him who the Messiah is. And so when he picks the baby Jesus up into his arms, this is what Simeon has to say. "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." God keeps his promise to Simeon that Simeon will see the Lord's Messiah. That is the first person that Jesus meets. The second one is maybe a little less known. We seem to focus often on Simeon's story, but there's a second person that Jesus meets, and her name is Anna. And so this morning, we will tell Anna's story. I invite you to follow along for our scripture passage this morning. We will be reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. You can follow this here in the sanctuary on the back of your bulletin. Or if you're at home and like to follow in your Bible, again, it's Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. You'll also find the passage here on the screens behind me. Again, Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. "Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Israel." Anna is a great woman of faith. In fact, in verse 36, we're told that Anna is a prophet. Now, that's kind of interesting. In fact, it maybe is just a little bit puzzling that Luke would call Anna a prophet because, like most prophets, we should have some words of Anna. Right? You go back to the prophet Isaiah or the prophet Jeremiah, and you get, "Thus says the Lord," and then they give their prophecy and you can read what they say. But that's not the case with Anna. We're not given what Anna says, we're simply given what Anna does. And so Anna is a prophet not because of the word she speaks necessarily, but because of her actions, because of her faithfulness to God. But her faithfulness to God, it can't be fully understood, it can't fully be experienced or known unless you know Anna's story. And so let's dig a little deeper into who Anna is. We're only given 3 verses, so honestly, we don't know a lot, but what we do know is probably enough. What we do know is that Anna's life has not been easy. In verse 36, we are told that Anna, after 7 years of marriage, loses her husband. Her husband dies after 7 years of marriage. Now, that's going to be significant to her life for a number of reasons. The first one is the obvious. She loses her partner. She loses the one she loves after only 7 years and will live the rest of her life as a widow. That is a loss that some of us know. It's a loss that some of us will know, and it's a loss that is great. But it's not the only loss that she experiences. You see, when her husband dies, she also loses her social status. If we know anything about the culture that Jesus is living in, women, often their status is tied to the husband that they are married to. And so when a woman loses her husband, she loses in many ways her standing within the community. And so Anna was once maybe respected. She had clout among her friends. As a widow, some of that is dampened. She loses her social status. And as a result of losing her husband, she also loses her stability. The one who is providing for her. The one who is giving her a home. The one who would give her children. For Anna, it's almost as if she has lost everything. Her life is turned upside down. And so I don't think it's a stretch. I think it's fair to say that Anna's life has not gone according to plan. I imagine that Anna, at 15 years old, when she marries her husband, she has an idea, she has a vision of what her life is going to look like. They're going to live happily ever after together. They're going to have a lot of kids. And they're going to have the things they need and a home to live in. This is the plan that Anna has for herself. As we know, it doesn't work out that way. We all make plans. We make plans for ourselves, the same plans that perhaps Anna has made about our future, about our spouses, about our careers, about our kids. We make plans about ourselves. We also make plans about the people around us. We have plans for our children. We want them to grow up. We want them to be healthy. We have plans for the businesses that we own or that we work in, for our careers. We make all sorts of plans. And one of the great frustrations of our lives is that our plans, they rarely work out. Nothing seems to go according to plan. And many people will spend the rest of their lives waiting for their plans to come to pass. It's almost as if they are a ship on the ocean and a storm has driven them off their course. And so they find a safe harbor and they drop anchor and they wait. And they wait. And they wait. And they wait until someone comes along and rights their ship in the right bearing, and then they can take off again. Some of us will spend our lives waiting. Some of us will spend our lives waiting for something to change. Some of us will spend our lives waiting for those people who have wronged us to realize it and finally apologize. Some of us will wait our entire lives for the recognition that we think we deserve. Some of us will wait for people to see us as we believe we should be seen. Some of us will wait for people to see the world as we believe they should. Some of us will spend our lives waiting. And for some of us, waiting becomes a self-destructive act of pride, a self-imposed purgatory from which we cannot escape because we refuse to do so. For some of us, that is what it means to wait. But not for Anna. We're told in verse 37 that Anna is now 84 years old. Now, let's do the math here for a second. Now, back in Jesus' time, it wasn't uncommon for a girl to be married by 13 years old. 18 years old would have been an old bride. So let's cut the difference. Let's say that Anna is 15 years old when she's married. Anna is 15 years old when she's married. Her husband lives for 7 years. She's now 22 when he dies. And then we're told that she lives to be a widow of 84 years old. Now, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a mathematician, but this one's pretty simple. 84 minus 22, 62 years Anna has been waiting. 62 years. For 60 years, Anna has been waiting. 60 years of waiting can do a lot to a person. 62 years of waiting can make you bitter and angry at God. 62 years of waiting can cause you to be hopeless, asking whether life is ever going to get better. 62 years of waiting will leave you questioning whether God is even a part of your life or if He cares at all. 62 years of waiting can leave you feeling like your life is a waste, and that it has been a failure. But again, not for Anna. For 60 years, Anna has been waiting, not on a better life, not on her plans to be fulfilled, not on what she believes she deserves. For 60 years, Anna has been waiting on the Lord. We're told in verse 37, at the temple, Anna has been waiting day and night, worshiping God, praying, and fasting. You see, there is a qualitative difference between Anna's waiting and ours. You see, Anna believes that God is already at work. She's not waiting for God to show up. She knows God is present. And Anna knows that God is true to His promises. And she believes that even though her life hasn't come to pass as maybe she had expected, maybe as she had planned, the Lord will have the final say. You see, her life is a life of what we might call active patience. Patience, that's a sticky word. Patience is a hard one to nail your thumb down. I and Charlie all the time ask Epperly to have patience. We'll be sitting at the dinner table. Epperly will often start a little bit before us after we've prayed. Charlie and I are scrambling around to get our plates ready so that we can eat and finish before she does. Because if Epperly is done feeding, if she is done eating, well, then she's all done. All done. She has things that she wants to do. She has things that she wants to get after, and she wants out of that chair and on the floor. But Mom and Dad, we're not finished. And so I look at Epperly as she's saying, all done, all done, all done, all done, knowing that pretty soon here comes the arm to swipe everything onto the floor. And I look at Epperly and I say, Epperly, can you please be patient while Mom and Dad finish their meal? Can you be patient? Yeah. Thank you so much. All done, all done, all done. You see, in Epperly's mind, patience is a terrible thing because patience is static. She's just sitting there waiting on Charlie and I to finish our meal, and that's no fun for anyone. But when it comes to patience in God, we experience something different. Patience in God is not static. Patience in God, waiting on the Lord, is not life on pause. When we wait on the Lord, we do so with the knowledge that God is not done with us. God has not abandoned us. We have a role to play. And Anna understands that God is not done with her. She has a role to play in building his kingdom, even at 84 years of age. Okay, we're going to go on a tangent here for a moment, but it needs to be said. We live in a culture that worships youth. Television, magazines, media, sports, celebrity, it all surrounds the idea that what is important is that you stay as young as possible for as long as possible. It doesn't make sense, but we pursue it. And so everything that we sell, everything that we buy, is aimed at getting us to feel younger. But as many of you know, we get older. And so maybe this is the word that you need to hear this morning. I don't care if you're 34, I don't care if you're 44, I don't care if you're 64, I don't care if you're 84, I don't care if you are 104. God is not done with you. God is not done with you. Your age has nothing to do with your usefulness to the Lord. If you think you are riding off into the sunset, you have a rude awakening coming your way. Because God is going to pick you off your horse, he's going to turn you around, and he's going to say, I am not done with you. You have just as much to offer to the kingdom of God as I do, or as my daughter at 18 months does. You have a role to play in God's kingdom, regardless of your age. And what is Anna's role? How will God use her to bring light to the Gentiles? She will be a witness to the Messiah. You see, Anna is patient in the Lord, and Anna's patience is rewarded. We read in verse 38. Anna came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph. Anna hears Simeon's words, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. God has a very, very clear and unique role for Anna. Anna, at 84 years of age, Anna, who has been waiting for over 60 years for God's promised Messiah, she gets to meet him. And her joy is so overwhelming that all she can do is go around telling people in the temple, he's here. The Messiah, you guys, he's here, I've seen him. 60 years of waiting as a widow, it's been for something. I don't know what you are waiting for. Perhaps you're waiting for health. Perhaps you're waiting for COVID to be over. Perhaps you're waiting for your child to get it through their thick skull that this is not the life that God has for them. I don't know what you are waiting for, but it doesn't need to be static waiting. God has a role for you to play in your patience. God is calling you to point to the good news that we have celebrated this last weekend. All of us are called to patience. The question is will we sit there and complain and think that God is done with us? or in our patience, in our waiting on the Lord, will we know that we are called to point to a Messiah who loves us, to point to a God who is not done with us. Let us pray. God of grace and God of mercy, you, Lord, are not done with us. All of us, Lord, are waiting in some way in our lives. All of us are picking up the pieces of broken plans that we have. But God, just like Simeon and just like Anna, you have called us to be patient. You have called us to know that you are the one who keeps his promises. You are the one who has sent your only Son into this world to be for us. And so, Lord, let us live our lives patiently waiting, patiently living out the calling to be witnesses to your Son, so that we know that we have a role to play in the building of your kingdom. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.